Wynn shook his head. You should grant it.
I should grant it when they offer nothing?
Now that the possibility of payment had been raised, Kem seemed offended that none had been offered.
And if they had offered something, what should I have done? Taken only half?
No, Wynn replied. You should have refused to return the lieutenant at all, and then moved her into a military interrogation facility before they could assassinate her. Kem looked truly confused.
Because the offer was an insult?
Because it would have meant that Lieutenant Pogorsky was valuable to them, Wynn explained. And before you even considered releasing her, you would want to know the nature of that value.
And because they offer nothing, she has no value?
That's right. The request is merely routine. Wynn turned to Pogorsky. You have family on Bastion, don't you? Someone important?
Pogorsky's eyes widened.
My father is an admiral in fleet provisions, she said. How did you know?
He's putting pressure on the diplomatic corps, Wynn replied. They made the request so they could tell him they're doing something.
I can't grant such a request,
Kem objected.
It would diminish my stature.
Wynn shook his head. You're forgetting your public persona, he said, surprised that the leader of the Sith would make such a mistake. You're supposed to be Rikari Kem, a wise and compassionate leader from Banish, not Rikari Kem, a greedy and power-hungry Sith overlord.
Yes, I see your point,
Kem said, her eyes flaring at the terms he had used to describe her. She sighed and turned to Pogorsky.
I cannot allow you to return to the Empire, knowing my true...
I won't tell anyone,
Pogorsky interrupted, clearly terrified.
I give you my word, as...
If your word had any value, you wouldn't have been in a GAS detention center in the first place,
Kem retorted.
But there's no need to kill you. I'm just going to use the Force to wipe away some of your memories.
Relief flooded Pogorsky's face.
I understand,
she said, visibly relieved.
Feel free.
I wasn't asking, Lieutenant.
Kem placed her hands on the sides of Pogorsky's head, then looked into the woman's eyes and locked gazes. For a moment, nothing seemed to happen, and Wynn thought the mind wipe might be as painless as it was mysterious. Then, the air between the two women began to shimmer. Pogorsky's eyes opened wide, and her face twisted into a mask of horror. Rikari Kem's fingers grew long and thin, and suddenly, her arms dissolved into gray, slimy tentacles, and in the Sith's place stood the hideous thing that Wynn had glimpsed on waking, a slender, sinuate form with coarse yellow hair and a mouth so broad that it reached from ear to ear. Abeloth. Pogorsky's jaw fell open in a wordless scream. The tentacles shot down her throat, into her ears and nostrils, and began to pulse. Horrible gagging noises erupted from her mouth. Her entire body went limp and hung, convulsing, by the ropey tendrils that had been inserted into her head. Finally, Pogorsky's expression went blank. Her complexion grew so pale and translucent that Wynn could see the tentacles throbbing inside her face, pumping something dark and viscous into her sinuses and her ears and down into her trachea. He began to scramble back, pressing himself against the wall behind him so fiercely it seemed to yield. The cell reverberated with a loud, growling howl that he did not recognize as his own voice until he found himself crouching in the corner, gnawing at his knuckles and banging his skull against the durasteel. The thing turned its gruesome head toward Wynn's corner, then fixed its blazing white eyes on him and smiled a grin as deep and dark as the maw itself.
Now that you'll be serving me, you should know this about your beloved Queen of the Stars,
Abeloth said.
She is so much more than a Sith.